Anyways, I love this sign right here. Fear is a liar. Yes. But fear will talk really, really loud to you. And the thing is, we adapt and we know we're not supposed to be afraid. So we adapt our language so that we don't call it fear. We call it wisdom. We call it a bunch of different things. I like this. I was going to use these earlier. To live a creative life, we must lose our fear of being wrong. And that's what we started with last week, is don't be afraid of a bad title, a bad picture. I just showed you a bunch of stuff that we changed over and over and over. The Liberty Project, Real Freedom, we've got a totally different cover on it now. And I was thinking, I actually did this one. This was actually a prayer thing we did in Main Street Crossing. And we used that coffee cup for conversational prayer. We did a meditative prayer nights. And this is actually the cover of my next book. And that's the title, the How to Recover from Unhealthy Church, is what Jim had come up with. And I had Healing Wounded Land. And so the picture... I'm going to talk about next week. We'll actually get online and look at pictures. But the picture was something that I had written out, a bunch of different things. So I had you can go to Shutterstock.com, which is in the back. It's free to open an account. It's $10 a picture you get to use. And you can type in all these different parameters. And you can create a light box, which, remember light boxes? You put your negatives out and you turn on this light box. You look at the negatives. You actually just click and put pictures in that light box. So I had like a cross with some land, and I had the sunset, and I had people praising God and people kneeling, and I had a really cool, like, all green and fruitful on this side and dead on this side with rolling hills. And so I put them all in a light box, and I knew that was my favorite, and I shared the link to a couple people, and they all picked that one. And then I went to Fiverr.com, which is all really, it's really easy to use. And it's $5 or $10. I mean, some guy just bought me a cup of coffee today. It was like almost $5 here. You go to Starbucks and you go to Orange Leaf and spend $12 on two things of ice cream. So you got to make some mistakes. I mean, you make mistakes, but then you just get it down and you'll get. So on Fiverr.com, you just go, I want somebody to design my cover. Here's my picture. Here's my title. Here's my name. I'll share all that more next week because you need to bring your laptops next week if you have them. If you don't, that's okay. We'll do something. But I just want to encourage you that there's all these things you do and the pieces all come together, but you keep doing your stuff that you're doing, okay? All right, and then if Alan's done with eating his chips.
Sorry.
I was going to have Alan come up here, and yeah. I'm going to write a book about sharing.
Aww.
Oh!
You want me to share? Oh.
I wanted Alan to share what Alan's done since last Wednesday night.
All right, so I started my book.
Yay!
I just said to a friend that no more excuses, so I started my first chapter. So my book is called Invited, Not Invited, Uninvited. And it's basically a book on how to get people to open up to you being able to speak into their lives. Because as a minister or as someone who likes to help people in their lives, if it's not uninvited, you could just... Yeah. Talk to you blue in the face, they're not going to listen. So the Lord has given me a lot of different ways to get people to invite me. So the book is about how to get them from uninvited to not invited to invited. So my first chapter, I was like, because it is true, you know, how do you start, right? How do you start to get that idea out? So I read a quote from an old book, maybe a lot of you have read it, it's The Great Gatsby. Anybody read The Great Gatsby?
Yeah.
But in chapter 3, there's a story of how the author, the story is from an author's point of view, meets the Gatsby guy. And he's invited to his home. And he's a multi-billionaire kind of a guy. And he's the only one invited to the party. So, but there's like hundreds and hundreds of people there. But he's the only one invited. So the difference on how all those people who just really wanted to mooch off of his money and his food and his festivities, and the one who was invited. And so the guy who was invited got a lot of favor. And then I also started writing about another story that I read about an invitation. And this invitation was back in the 1800s, 1883 to be exact. There was a big party in New York City that Alva Vanderbilt gave. And she was from the Vanderbilt family, who was new money in the 1800s. And the old money was like the Astors and some of the older families. And so they kind of kept the Vanderbilts out of society. And so Alva wanted to become part of society. Since they had more money than everybody else, they wanted to at least get into society. And so what she did was she had this huge house built. Back in the day, it was like about $5 million, which is like $100 million now. And then she had this huge housewarming party. And she did all this to get invited. So it's a really powerful story how she built this house and then she invited everybody in New York City society except the Astors. And so the Astors, Mrs. Astor, his daughter came to her and said, listen, all my friends are going to this party and we're not invited. And so, of course, Mrs. Astor's like, how are we not invited? So Alva Vanderbilt says, well, it's impolite to invite somebody who has not yet decided that I'm part of her circle. So I'm only doing what you have created. So she winds up being invited to the Astor's house, who then in turn gets invited to the party. So I started it, and it's really starting to get to help me to understand how people open up their lives to you. Sometimes it's through manipulation, and that was clearly a manipulating way. And a lot of pastors manipulate you into trying to get you to open your hearts. But I like the other story better. I like the story that there was, which is the story in the Great Gatsby, where he just invites this man because this man is very close to Daisy. Daisy is the girl that he's trying to get to talk to, and because he's close to her, because they're cousins, he wanted to get to know this person, so he invited him. Good. So that's what the book's going to be about. That's the first chapter.
Awesome. That exciting?
Yes.
And I just want him to show. I think that's great. So on the, some of the things, if you're doing more of a like a teaching thing, or you want to actually present, instead of writing the book, you could create a workbook first. Because then there's just ideas, there's outlines, here's five things, here's three things, here's this, ask a question, here's some scripture, and you can even just put a story heading, and you can create a 25 or 35 page book that people can take away, but then you can teach on it over and over and over again, begin to refine it. So one of the reasons to show you a picture of a book is because if you put a name on it, it's real hard not to keep thinking about it. Healing Wounded Land. It was called other things. And I had totally other chapters in totally other direction. That might be something else late down the road, but I've got a file for that. And but once you have a name, you start thinking of some ideas of what the cover's going to look like and how you're going to like share it with people. And one of the big problems is if you write something that you really love, you might have in the back of your mind, who won't love it? Maybe somebody who was not a good part of your story. So you've got to watch out for those things. You've got to not let that voice overwhelm the voice of I'm writing this to help people to share a story and not I'm writing it to for that audience to like it, but it's for this other audience out there, all right? Let's go to page 31. And most of this I've already written out, so you don't have to fill anything in. But I want you to set some reasonable writing goals. I do want you to set some goals. So I want you to write outside of A there. How many hours a week will you write? Just write out there. It could be 1 to 2. It could be 3 to 5. Anything that you want. And I want you to write out there, when will you write?
I mean, what time of day?
Yeah, what time of day? Yeah, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit as we talk about a writing appointment. But yeah, what time of day? I'll write in the morning. I'll write in the afternoon. I'll write when my boss isn't looking. No, I'm kidding. And then C is, what is your first draft deadline? And your first draft deadline could be scratched out. You could be missing chapters. Give yourself a deadline. Tell, I'm going to have a title. I'm going to have a picture idea for the book. I'm going to have 8 chapters, and I'm going to have at least 8 stories and some scribbling for each one. That's a first draft. It's you're not talking a first draft that I love and everybody likes. I'm actually printing Healing Wounded Land, 50 copies to take with me, and I'm trying to figure out how to put on the back, not done yet. Because after I've looked at it and got it taken care of, I've got it as far as I can. I need somebody else that can help me move some stuff around that I'm not able. I just can't do it. I've got it 80%. I need somebody to help me cross the finish line, but I'm still going to utilize it. It's still good stuff. It's still my story, and it's still going to be used for actually 5 days over there with the church. So I'm going to do that. But don't make your first draft be it's all printed out. There could be blanks. There could be I write in there, this doesn't sound right, or does this fit? And I bold it, or does this go somewhere else? It's just things like that. Or I think this whole paragraph is awkward, but I like the idea. That might be first draft. First draft is it's going somewhere. So first draft deadline. And it might literally be if it's compiling some stuff. If it's you just heard Alan on his chapter. He's got 2 stories. He wasn't there. He didn't make up those stories. There's 2 stories. So that can write a lot of it. Once you get a story, if it's a personal story or something you've read, you put it into your own voice and you write it. And then if you get stuck, how long will you wait before getting help? So we're going to talk about getting unstuck also. But and then, are your goals smart? Are they specific? Do you know how many hours you want to work? Can you measure if you did it or not at the end of the week? Can you attain it? You didn't write down 40 hours a week. Are they relevant to what you want to do? And is it timely? Okay, so
Can you tell me what getting help means?
Yeah, good. Okay, good. So calling somebody. Here's a getting help. So maybe you're stuck. And maybe you go, you know what? I love having conversations with so-and-so. I'm going to call them and have a 30-minute conversation on this topic, and it'll spark me. I'll know. I mean, it'll just, boom, pull it out of me. So mostly getting stuck is I don't have an idea, right? It's mostly I don't know where to go with this. But a conversation, even a Facebook chat or a texting conversation will spark stuff, won't it? You feel really bad. You're like, oh, I'm so mad at so-and-so. And somebody says something funny to you. Somebody says something. Somebody texted their wife just recently and said, I'm missing you. And she's like, I forget exactly what she said, but it was really funny. It was kind of mean, but it was so appropriate, too. And it just, he's out of it. You know, so I think reaching out like that, and it might be getting help, like going and looking at this again. Like why you want to write your book. Mostly it's probably reaching out and just talking to somebody. You don't have to talk to another writer. You don't have to talk to somebody. Just talk to somebody that will help you get unstuck. Because you all want to write a book. You all have a topic. You all have some outlines, some chapter outlines. So the only way you're going to get stuck now that you know how to start is that you won't have an idea of how to go to the next thing. Okay? All right. And then down here, what days will you write? So you know how many hours, you know when you're going to write. So this is, some of you will do best if you write 1 hour 3 days a week. Some will do best if you write 4 hours all in a row. And if that's you, then do that. Do that. Don't think that you have to write. I know mentioned Stephen King last time. He's got just a brilliant book on, it's called On Writing Well. And it's about his writing. But he has written every single day, Christmas, Easter, New Year, for I think at least a couple hours every day of his life for over 30 years, except when he got hit by a car and was in the hospital for like 4 months. But he has every hotel he goes to, whenever he travels, he gets up and he writes every single day. And he's super prolific. So what day will you write? And again, if it's better to have 1 4-hour period. You know, your wife and kids are going to be out of town, or they're busy every certain night. You're going to write at that time. I've helped somebody do some things for business, and they have kids. They do some homeschooling, similar to you. And I have heard for about a year and a half, 2 years, I don't have time. You know what she did? She asked her husband one thing. He said, of course. She's got like 3 hours one day a week, and then she's got like an hour every morning for 4 mornings out of the already to dedicate to something for her. So there's things you can do. And so what day will you write? Where will you typically write? Some people write really well in a coffee shop. They do. They can just zone out everything. I'm not that person. I have to have it quiet. If anybody's home, I have the shotgun earplugs. I put them in my ears. I might even put on, I have a writer's playlist on Spotify that's no words. I put it on. I might put that over my headphones, because if I hear creaking around, I want to go see what they're doing. I like my family. Somebody comes over, I want to go talk to them, but I have to, like, I'm not going to go. If I'm writing and somebody comes over, I have had to learn to stay in my office until I'm done doing what I'm doing. Between what hours are you writing? That's kind of all the same. So what I want you to do is you get out your phones if you have a smartphone. And I want you to set your next 3 hours of writing time, okay, on your calendar. I am pushy. No, but you don't have to. I can't, you know what? I can't make you do anything.
Please make me.
You know what? Just yeah, really. Well, that's why we write. We read. It's something like most people won't read 3 books once they get out of high school or college. But you know, I'm assuming and talking to y'all that everybody here wants to help people, influence people. And by influence, I don't mean to get them to do something for you, but to influence them to think about their life differently. And in order to do that, one of the best ways to do that is through your writing. Not all of us can be around people. Here's how pushy I am. A few of you will remember Pat Mills, the Canadian Pat. That was at an older church, and a bunch of kids were getting baptized. I forgot about the story. He just Facebooked me some stuff, and he said he was thanking me just for some stuff. I haven't seen him for 10 years, but he was thanking me for some stuff, and he said I told him. He said when we had 10 kids in children's church getting baptized. And I said, you should do that. These kids love you. You're the children's pastor. And he had all this list of rules why he shouldn't baptize somebody. And he said, I told him, shut up. You're the kid's pastor. So I am pushy. I say that just, I am pushy. And he said, he says, I don't know if another time while in your living room, a lesson you taught your son and me, since he lived with us for a while, I don't have to do anything. I choose to do the things I do, but everything I choose to do will have a consequence. That sounds like me, huh? And I'm here to tell you today, if you don't write your book, you don't write your book. If you don't, if you don't lead and love and lean into what you're good to be, you don't do it. I can't make you. I wish I could. I so wish I could make you. I do. So on page 32... A is here, it says, if you have a vision to write a book but cannot walk towards that vision, then there's a part of you that is broken. If you say, I believe that God's called me to do this, or I want to, and you can't get there, something's wrong. It's not something's wrong not with the writing, something's not right wrong with publishing, you don't need an editor, it's something is broken in you. So I can look and see that door back there. If I can't see the door, something's wrong with me, right? It's not something's wrong with the door. Then if I can see the door but I can't walk to the door, there's something wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with the door. What we start saying is, there's no door. I don't want to go to the door. And we've got to really be aware of that, to find out what's broken in us and get help in those areas. So the second one is, what gets in the way of you writing? We've talked about some real big, I don't have time, and the fear, and I don't know where to start. So we've gone over some of those things. But then just a little bit deeper is this C and D. How does honoring blank above honoring your desire to write hurt you? How does honoring having a clean house above honoring your desire to write hurt you? How does honoring blank, your boss or your pastor, or above honoring your desire to write hurt you? How does honoring the Netflix, 5 seasons of Netflix series that you don't want to finish but you're going to finish anyways, how does honoring your time commitment to season 3, watching all of season 3 and 4 and 5, hurt you? So just think about those things. What do you, and then also on the flip side, what do you get by honoring blank above your desire to write? A lot of times we'll say, I can't do this because of so-and-so. I'm honoring them. And what we're really doing is we're blaming them. That when somebody becomes our excuse, then they become... it sounds like honor. I can't do it because of so-and-so. And there's certain times I can't write. I can't do certain things because I have a commitment to a 9-year-old. I have a commitment to a wife. I have a commitment to a church. I have a commitment to things around my house that needs to be get done. All right? So what do you get by honoring blank above your desire to write? So just be challenged to look at some of those things. And then this last one is get a partner. The one may be overpowered, 2 can defend themselves. A cord of 3 strands is not quickly broken. My first book partner is, you don't have to pick someone here, write down a partner. Yeah. Write down a partner. And I mean, you're going to write with them, but you're just going to, they might not even be a writer, but it's going to be somebody, that's going to be your first phone call when you get stuck. Or your first text.
Do we have to ask them?
Well, you can eventually, because down here it says text your new partner and ask them, but yeah, that is pushy, huh?
Are you willing to be anybody's partner?
No, I'm not.
What's that?
I'm not willing to be anybody's partner. But you can text me no matter what. You can email me no matter what. You guys know that. You can email me or text me, but get somebody that maybe you're going to be a little bit more, can have a conversation with. And when will you check in with that person? So what it was really saying, you know what? My name is Les Heron. I'm going to write a book. And can you ask me when we're together if I have written any more on that book? And you can even tell them, here, these 4 things you can ask me. What have you written? What are you excited about? Where are you stuck? Well, I guess those are 3 questions. And the 4th one is, why aren't you more brilliant when you write? That was Alan's big fear last week. So maybe you help them to hold you accountable, because accountability isn't them, you know, punching you around, but it's you checking in with them. And then just D is, we will communicate by text or email. And it's just a simple thing when you're writing, when you're thinking about it. Really work hard on why you aren't able to write or present or start the ministry you want or start the business you want or get the job that you want. Really think hard about that. And ask God about that. All right, so here's a couple on page 33. I love this at the bottom. A dream without a plan is just a wish. Dream it, plan it, do it, get it, be it. That's copyrighted, so don't use that for yourself. So any questions? So last week we talked about, I think it's on here, if you cannot push past your feeling stupid, then you won't get very far in the life you want to live. Okay? We talked about getting past stupid. You got to be able to feel embarrassed. It's just getting past a feeling that's not even true. It's not even true. It's not even true that just a feeling. Just let it go by and get rid of it. Okay?
Don't get stuck on stupid.
I like that. Don't get stuck on stupid. So here's a quote from Victoria. In this house, we don't care what Tim Stone thinks about music. So most of you don't know who Tim Stone is. So we're getting ready for dinner. Me and Krisha, Victoria, I think, is setting the table. And Krisha said, hey, you know, KSBJ has a new radio station. I said, yes, the next gen radio station. She's like, have you listened to it yet? I said, no. But Tim Stone, who's a musician, he's a pastor in Montgomery, he told me he listened to it and he hates it. And Victoria gets real dramatic. She's like, in this house, we do not care what Tim Stone thinks about music. I was like, right on.
Whoa.
If you're my critic, I don't care what you think about my writing. I don't care. Just don't come and buy it. Don't come and read it. You're not looking for everybody's approval. And I love that. And so I've been saying, because she does get dramatic. She's a little bit loud like her mother. Tuesday, she's eating at the table, and we're quiet. We were up late on Monday night. It's the first day of school, and she's like, why is it so quiet in here? So, yeah, so it's, so we don't care what Tim Stone thinks about our ride. No, we do care what Tim Stone thinks. I care. You guys don't. But don't care about what, don't think about, somebody over here wrote trolls, internet trolls, people that are just criticizing your stuff. You're like, you know, I love so-and-so, and they're like, well, I hate that pastor, that pastor's this. It's like, don't listen to all that. That's all garbage. But what we do is we pay attention to that, and we don't realize that it presses in our imagination, our creativity, our desire to step out there and get in the ring and fight this thing. So here's some writing tips. Don't correct as you're writing. Unless you're really good at typing and thinking and you can backspace and do it as you're going, just do it. Just do it. And if you're more comfortable using a pen and paper, use a pen and paper. But if you can, write on a computer. All right? But you don't have to. Write without thinking. Write without thinking. Sit down. You would be amazed at what happens when you sit down and you start writing. You know what? I don't know what I want to write, but I do. And you're typing in, but I do want to write about how to be invited into a person's life. And that looks like, and you'll just start writing. You'll really be amazed when you're focused on what you're writing. So that write without thinking. Don't correct yourself. Don't say, oh, that sounds stupid. Don't say that. It might sound stupid. We covered that last week, but it might. But that's okay. That's what you go back and you take out. And this third one is right to put as much content down on the paper. You're looking for content. So if you're looking for a lot of ideas and you're looking for one out of 22 ideas and you only need one good idea and 19 or 20 bad ideas, when you're writing, you're looking for a lot of content. It's a whole lot easier to shave off 30 or 40% than it is to add 30 or 40%. So you're looking for content. There's a lot of jewels, a lot of diamonds in the rough stuff, in the stuff that you don't like. And you'd be amazed that if you will sit and write and just put it down there, don't think anybody's watching you, just you, and you'll be surprised how much it comes out, okay? So don't edit. The fourth one is similar to that. Don't edit your thinking as you write. Don't think, oh, this isn't my topic. Because you will surprise yourself what your topic is if you will intentionally write, but take all I can think of is how Seth Godin says it. He calls it your lizard brain. That brain that you had, that you had to have this lizard brain to survive. So you're walking down the street in the desert, and anybody not of your tribe, you go and hide if you don't think you can kill them. Every animal is a predator, and you have to always protect yourself. You have to always watch out for everything around you. Everything's dangerous. We don't live in that society anymore. The danger is the internet trolls, the negativity, the Tim Stones of the music world. You know what I mean? So don't think that. Just don't edit your thinking. Just write it. Let it come out. And you will be really surprised what you write. It's the same when you're talking, isn't it? Somebody comes up to you. They say, I have a problem. They're giving you permission to talk to them. You're like, and you're thinking, man, I don't have a thing to say. I don't even know what they're talking about. And then you hear one more sentence and you start talking. I'm so sorry that happened to you. And then boom, it's just like amazing stuff that comes out of your mouth. Writing can be the same way. Because you're not thinking. You're wanting to help that person. You're wanting to get it out there. Somebody asked me what I was going to enjoy about Scotland the most. And I said, first time ever, I think I figured it out. I said, I'm just going to enjoy there being my best self with a group of people and find out all the amazing things that I'm going to say that I have no idea I'm going to say and I have no plan on saying them right now. It's just going to be around this group of people that I've known and got to meet over the last 6-7 years or so. And it's just going to come out. But if I edit and think what I'm going to do, then I get up there and I say something for 30 or 40 minutes, that's it. And that's not very life-giving. So number 5 and number 6 here are similar. The Blitzberg, I think I spelt that wrong now that I'm looking. I think it's the Blitzkrieg, K-R-E-G. It's a military tactic from the 30s that the Germans used in World War II. And what it is, usually what you do, you would fight, like if I'm Germany, you guys are all the good nations and all good. What you would do, you would fight and you would take over some land, and then you would hold it, you would entrench yourself, and you would get supplied. And then you would take over some land, and then you would entrench yourself, and you start taking over this and dominating. Blitzkrieg was, you hit the weakest part of the line as hard and fast as you can, several different places, and you go through the line wherever you can go through. And you don't worry about provision. You wreck havoc everywhere, and you get as far into enemy territory as you can. You just go through the weakest point, and then everybody's in disarray. And that's a great way to beat resistance. Blitzkrieg is sitting down for 30 minutes. I'm going to set the timer, and I'm going to keep my hands right here, and I'm going to type. Even if it's like, God, this, I don't even know what I'm going to say. This is ridiculous. I know I can't say I don't know how to write a book. I can't say, you know, all Les has told me these things. But then you're going to start writing, and you're just going to push right through that resistance. And you're not going to think about, does it look good? Does it feel good? You're just going to go all the way through into enemy territory. And to get the paint on is like if I said, you know, hey, can you come up and draw a dog? Almost everybody would go, oh. You wouldn't know what, even one thing. But if they had a dog here and say, can you go color in an ear? Can you put a tail on it? But it's the getting something on this white piece of paper that's really difficult. And just start. Just throw some paint on. Even if it's something you have to go cover up. You know, when you have a white canvas, they go and they paint it. They treat the canvas with a different color than what they're going to actually use. They cover it and they paint it all the way from top to bottom. They cover it so it's not a white canvas, so that everything that can't remember the only reason, but then they've got something on it. They've already got some paint on it. Then it's not the first thing. They're not ruining that white canvas. So don't worry about ruining your white canvas. Okay. All right, so page 35. Won't you just read over those and see if there's something you need to have a question for, and I'll just summarize it before we go on.
I've actually recorded a presentation I've given before, and I hated it.
Yeah.
But I learned a lot of things that
That's
I
right.
differently.
That's right. Yeah.
Gestures, using too much.
Right, right.
Things like that.
Yeah, it's brutal. A lot of people won't do it. Won't hear themselves.
Yeah,
sound of your voice on a recording.
The sound of my voice? You don't like the sound of my voice? Wow. It is hard. And the thing is, you start learning to, you will start learning. Somebody the other day, he was talking about monotone, and he was saying how he speaks in monotone. I was like, you do not speak in monotone. He goes, yeah, I speak in monotone because it's always like this. He was saying he's always at a high level when he talks. I was like, I never thought. I thought monotone was always, but it's one tone. And so when you listen to yourself, you get to figure that out. So, so look at that. And if you can, but record the speech. We got this. We started recording Jim and I, who you met last week. We started recording like everything that we do. I've started sitting down when I'm praying something, and we're just going to pray about something. We did this with praying for Scotland. I'll do it again Sunday night with a friend. I turn on my phone and I record. I record that, and I don't always go back. But there's a lot of stuff that comes out when you're together with people. And so record the next speech lecture or class you speak at. And also down at the bottom, record yourself and a friend having a conversation. Some of you could write a book just based on conversations that you have with people. If you had an intentional conversation directed towards something, you could write a book on that. Because it's amazing the people that you know. And it's amazing what people bring out in people. And that's a great way to write a book. The presentation, record your next Bible study you share, your workshop presentation, outline and connect outline with sentences, organic themes you see from your blog post, and you have an automatic book. I know some guys that have blogged for a long, long time. They won't just compile some of their stuff. They want to write a book, but they want it to be new and brilliant and fresh. They don't want to go look through some themes of what they've written before. And there's Dragon Dictation you can get on your smartphone that will dictate your words for you. And you can use your smartphone. I think everybody has it on their iPhone. You can't get it off your iPhone, can you? It's just called voice memos right there. I've never recorded myself and a friend having a conversation, but I've used all my life, I've used conversation in everything that I've done. It helps me. I process and I learn and I grow and I change by hearing somebody talk to me. Even if I argue with them, it's really, really helpful. All right, so any questions on those? All right, let's go to page 37 and fill in the blanks. The title of my book is blank. If you don't have a title, we're going to help you right here. The title of my book is blank. My book is about blank, and I plan on completing my book by January 1st, 2016. All right. Just raise your hand if you gave yourself 3 months or less to write your book. Okay? 6 months or 3 to 6 months. 6 plus months. Seven plus months. Okay. All right. Oh, raise your hand if you do not have a title. Okay? 1, 2. All right. You want to share your topic, Ron?
The topic that I'm kind of thinking about is a kind of a parable kind of thing.
Okay.
And it's kind of a looking for things in equipment or something and not being able to find
it. Wait, was yours back there? Was inheritance?
No.
Oh.
No, mine's over here. This is my original, but I've...
Oh, you've refined it all just through tonight. Okay. So parable, what's your basic parable of what?
It's a story of a little princess.
Okay. But what's the
looking for something you can't find?
Yeah. Looking for something. Oh, gotcha. Okay, yeah, I didn't hear that part. Sorry. Well, I have a story to send you. Then it's called the. I think it's called The Land of Diamonds. It's about a guy that gets a word from a real wise old guy. It's not a Christian one at all. It's and he's told that you are going to own a diamond mine. You're going to have acres and acres of diamonds, and they're going to be. And this guy leaves his family, leaves his wife and his kids, and he travels. And it's all of his adventures of traveling around the world. Looking for the place of diamonds, and he comes back home. He's exhausted. His kids are grown. He's an old man, worn out, totally broke. And right before he dies, he realizes he had the diamond mine there all the time. Literally, the physical diamond mine. So this, it's a. Those are great. Okay. Any title idea for Ron?
Does he want the word parable in it?
Do you want the word parable in it? That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still
parable might be in the tagline. A parable about finding yourself or something like that. Yeah. Okay. Do you want to share yours? Okay. Anybody else not have a title? Let's share some of your titles, will you?
You heard mine.
Can you repeat it?
Invited, not invited, uninvited.
That's right. So Alan is not writing a book. He's writing invited, not invited, uninvited. See how it switches that. Anybody else?
I keep changing my
time. That's okay. Just give us one.
Okay. So... you can pray, or you can pray like an expert.
You can pray like an expert.
That's good.
So you got both, huh? What is it?
Praying for dummies.
I like it. So there you go. But see, that's how it works out. Well, that's okay. It doesn't. You don't have to tell anybody that she gave it to you. Good grief.
I think you have to get permission from the people that do the dummies.
Oh. Well, you can be. Yeah. But anyways, that's a good start. But that's how when you get a title, start playing with a bunch of titles. Just have a if you have a document that you're writing your story, write a bunch of titles. Write a bunch of titles. Write a bunch of taglines when you're thinking about it. And
got a bunch of taglines.
Because you know what this book is about, right?
Yeah, it's about destroying the lies that keep us from prayer.
There you go. That's a great tagline. Mm-hmm. I like that. Good. So this invited, not invited, uninvited will need some clarification of what it's about. But the parable is even harder to clarify. Does that make sense? And so, anybody else has a title?
The perfect church and perfect soft down and complete.
Is that you guys over there?
Yeah.
That's what I said. I said I want to read this book.
I don't know. Yeah.
Good. Awesome. Anybody else? What's that?
The one I've been thinking of for such a long time. It's for the sake of the unity candle, or the help that we need.
Wait, for the sake of the unity candle?
For the sake of a unity candle.
And there's another title, or it goes.
Comma or It's really, it's like it's really clean, but I didn't cut it in half. Otherwise, I'd have to write two books.
Wait, it's for the sake of the unique candle, or, and that's your title?
Or The House That Made Us.
Oh, I got you. Or The House That Made Us?
Yes.
I think that's awesome. Yeah. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I think this right here, yeah. The House That Made Us, is like, that's intriguing. But you have to have a good tagline.
Yeah.
So, sake of the unity candle, thinks marriage, stuff like that. And so, but yeah, good. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's early. That's a good title.
You okay? The House That Made Us. Your tagline would want to like clarify even further what it is. If you're an author that everybody knows, you don't have to clarify a whole lot. If you look on like John Bevere and some of these guys, it's like John Bevere, and it doesn't have, you know, it just the title's less important than T.D. Jakes, really. But we're not those people yet. Okay, so think about that. So everything you're going to create, a digital file, it's going to have your name of your book on it.
Well, you had us help who couldn't have a title, but I can't even think of what would be my... Would I need a tagline for mine?
Yeah.
I think what you might need is a different title, and this is your tagline. Or this is your title with a smaller word as a tagline. I don't know. You just have to play with that.
Like a tagline would be like finding a way in when you've been left out.
Okay. There you go. Or yeah, something permission based, because you know because I've heard you use the words permission, a connection, relationship, stuff like that.
People's hearts up to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, there you go. Right there, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, there's actually a phrase back here. Yeah. So Alan said it could be, and Kathleen's like, there you go. And he's like, oh, yeah. So look, there's a phrase back here that I forget the guy's name that wrote it.
What should I say? Yeah.
Verse 23. What is amazing to you is obvious to others. I'm sorry, what is obvious to you is amazing to others. It's obvious to you. This title is obvious, the house that made us. It's obvious, but it's like, wow, that's really good. It's like, so be okay with that, all right? All right, so go to page 38. Now, anybody here, this might be Ron, okay? I'm not sure, but if you're writing a story, a personal story or a fiction book, you're going to go to page 40, okay? Page 40, it says important scenes in my story. All right? That's a chronological story. That's probably a parable. And Ron, for a parable, you need to put scenes down there. What parts are going to be on her journey, stuff like that. But on 38 and 39, what I want you to do is take about 5-6 minutes, maybe a little bit more. What I already know about your talk, but this topic that you've set, what you already know about your topic, what you need to know about your topic, okay? And honestly, what you need to know about your topic might not be very big list, because if it's coming out of you, you might need to clarify some scripture, you might need to clarify some dates or details, like Alan had, was John Astor in there, and the Vanderbilts and stuff like that. He might have to make sure I got the name and the dates right. Those would be some things you might not know in your stories, okay? So go ahead and take some time and do that. Bless you.
Excuse me.
So keep writing, but I'm going to talk a little bit. But if you're doing this, what I already know about my topic, you might go, you know, I know everything. But maybe you're going to do 15 different stories, but you want to have a scripture with each one. So you would need 15 scriptures. Those are things that you wouldn't know about your topic, what you need to know about your topic, okay? So there might be a counterpart of what you do know, but then what you don't know. Do you need some help?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm thinking here.
I like it.
Yeah. Good.
Do. I didn't realize it was 5 till, so we have a couple more minutes. I'm gonna give you some homework, okay? So turn to page 42. You can finish that later, but page 42. 42 and 43 are kind of the same exercise. What I was gonna have you do, I was gonna have you take all of your mind map, and you might want to, if you have sticky notes at the house, I love sticky notes. Or post-it notes, if it is to take every one of your mind maps. So we would go here, take every one of those, write a word, and if you thought about it more, you have a little bit more phrase, like, is it effective? Maybe a little more clarity, write it on there. Put it on a wall, a piece of paper, a desktop, and take all of your mind map and write them out on a sticky note, okay? Leave them there, go away for a little bit, and then come back and try to put them in order. Mm. Put the ones, maybe you have a list of ones you really love. Maybe you start, don't tear any up yet. Maybe you have like 15 and you wind up with 5 you don't like that much. Or maybe there's some redundancy in there. And start getting them down. And then what I want you to do is I want you to take the sticky notes and start writing. I want you to take them and start putting them in order of how you want to share your information, share your story, share your book, okay? And then when you get done with that, your homework is to come in on page 42 and write 12 chapters. Or not write, just write titles for 12 chapters. And if you come up with a clever idea, like, oh, this would be a great title, you could just write it on your sticky note and write it on this portion here. You're not committed to these 12 yet. If you only have 7 or 8, that's fine. But put them on this page. So come back, when you come back next week, have page 42 filled out with your chapters, okay?